Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. This week, taking a road trip. We're going across the world. We're going to Japan, visiting our friends in Loudness, doing a little review from the album called Thunder in the East. Guys, y'all ready to do this?
I'm not sure I'm ready. Anthony, are you ready? Do you have a tagline for us?
I actually don't, but maybe I'll just go with my name for the day. It's the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. So time for some thunder in my pants.
Oh, there we go. Sounds terrible. Anyway.
I was going to rock and roll crazy. It's the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Time for some rock and roll crazy nights.
That's probably a good one. That's
a little more PG. Yeah, that's
a
good.
Better. A little better than thunder in my pants.
All right. So we're getting ready to pay a visit to our friends over in Japan, our listeners over there. Hopefully they are, of course, majority of the rock fans over there are very familiar with Loudness as they have found great fame in the land of the rising sun. This is going to be a interesting podcast, no doubt about it. We've heard some complaints the past 2 weeks.
Not from me.
And we've heard some praising.
Not so, from me.
This is probably going to be a two-on-one battle. This should be fun.
Always right, guys, is. Bunch of fanboys over here. Let's go.
Let's get this thing started. Track number one, it's called Crazy Nights. Hit it, Chris. So Crazy Nights, man, this album kicks off with an explosive anthem that really sets the tone for the entire journey of this record. The riff immediately gets your head bobbing, no matter if you like the song or not. It's contagious. It's infectious. It's just catchy. It's just a catchy riff. It's a catchy song. Powerful vocals. I think that this song is definitive to the time. I know, Chris, you weren't as familiar at all with this record and this song. But I will say that this song is very, very, very popular for Loudness, number one. Number two, for the genre. This was huge in the 80s.
Which genre are we talking about?
Hair. This is pure hair worship.
That's just heavy metal.
I don't know where
you're
going with this. Just go ahead and say it, man.
It's more heavy metal, man, I think, than hair.
You didn't see what these guys look like in the video, did you?
Their hair with a touch of metal, I guess you could say.
All right. Well, it's pure hair metal rock because they knew what was getting ready to come. Whoever produced this back in the day, back in 84, knew what was getting ready to hit the world because they were all over that look. Anyway, I think it's perfection for the genre. I think it's perfection for the band. Probably the best song maybe in their discography. I love this song. I'm a fan of the band. I've had most of their albums throughout the years, so it's a 10 in my ears. Chris, go ahead and slaughter it.
I'm not gonna slaughter it. It is a fantastic song. It's just got a nasty opening riff. Reminds me a lot of George Lynch, you know, the guitar that work does, which, I mean, that's high praise. That's just all there is to it. Vocally, I feel like this guy's got a bit of a Scorpion sound to him, I guess, a little bit. Maybe it's where they're foreign. I don't know. It's a catchy chorus. Probably the best song on the album, in all fairness. It is a great way to start the album. I don't think it's iconic. I don't think it's perfection. I mean, let's just be real. Like, for hair metal, this is like
bullshit.
Oh, I mean, seriously, like, how many people, if you polled in the United States, would even know what the hell this is, man? I mean, let's be honest.
I'm just playing with you, Chris. I'm trying to get you goat, man.
No, it's fine. I gave it 8. I think it's an excellent song, but I'm not going 10 on this.
All right, Anthony, what do you think about Crazy Nights?
Wikipedia, about the only thing I have on this album is from Wikipedia on this one song. So, say Crazy Nights is the fourth single. I didn't know this was the fourth single. I couldn't find the other singles. By Japanese band Loudness from their 85 album Thunder in the East. It was written by lead vocalist Minoru Nihara and guitarist Akira Takasaki. God, I hope I didn't butcher that too bad. And produced by Max Norman. The single was released by Nippon Columbia on December 1st, 1984 in Japan. And by Atco Records on November 1st, 1985. The song was the band's big break in the American metal scene and has since become their signature song, which you were kind of right about that, Jimmy. The chant of MZA, that you hear in a minute, MZA, which I thought they were saying.
MZA.
Yeah.
Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
YYZ, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A little rush
exactly.
Over here this morning.
That's exactly right.
The chant of MZA featured in the song came about when Norman asked Nihara to come up with something to sing over the main riff between the chorus and next verse. MZA means nothing, and it was intended to be replaced with another line in post-production. When Nihara couldn't come up with anything to replace it, the MZA chant survived. So I thought they were saying Crazy Nights in that chant. I was Crazy Nights. That's what I thought they were saying until I looked it up. So I was kind of surprised by that, but
It's cool, man. Very cool.
Yeah. But, you know, I love how this one just cranks right out of the gate. Makes you want to grab the volume knob and spin it till it stops. You know, the song certainly passes the crank test in my mind. Heavy, loud, bombastic, which is a good word I like to use. powerful song from start to finish with a catchy chorus, unique vocals, blistering guitar solo, heavy drums, and all the tropes I love in heavy metal music. I think this one is a 10, too. And my notes said this too, Jimmy. It's perfection for these guys and probably for the genre of heavy metal. So
I agree.
We both equal the same statement, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way I looked at it, the way I listened to it. I remember this being on Headbangers Ball back in the day.
I remember this song too from years ago.
I mean, I remember this thing being an anthem on there, you know, played regularly. So it's killer, man. Killer stuff.
I mean, if you wanted to just argue this is perfection for Japanese hair metal, then I'm not going to disagree with that.
I think it's
but like,
perfection for metal. I mean, personally.
I think this has reached out.
It's a really good song, but
if you're fully immersed in metal and you know all the facets of metal more like Jimmy does than I do, you're going to know this band. If you're really steeped in heavy metal, you're going to know this band.
You're right. They're not across that popular. Not in that popular range of, you know, what we expect in America. This was their breakthrough album. This album and the next album, because they had a video for an album off the next album called Let It Go, which is a rocking tune as well. It's killer. And Anthony, you probably have seen the video for it as well, but because it goes back to like 86 or something. But nonetheless, it's okay, man. I get it. I think it's fantastic. And it doesn't help that one of my good friends is personal friends with these guys. So that's another thing. You know, Chuck, my buddy Chuck down in North Carolina, he knows these dudes. He knows the guys from Loudness personally. So, I mean, he's got this relationship with them. Yeah, he does it. Well, he does interviews with them, but I don't speak Japanese. Most of them don't speak English.
Does he speak Japanese?
It's broken. Yeah, he can. He can a little bit. Yeah. He's a huge fan of Japanese, you know, rock.
Well,
a lot of the words.
Tell Chuck to let's get him on get Chuck on the podcast to interview these guys. We'll put him a special bonus episode and talk. Let him talk.
That would be awesome. I don't know how hard it'd be.
Don't let him hear my review beforehand. All I can say.
Post this after the interview.
And now at 8 a.m. we're going to go ahead and get Akira in here. Come on in, Akira, and listen. All right, let's go to track 2. It's called Like Hell. Hit it, Chris.
We'll be right back.
All right, so we're going right off of a rocking song into track two, Like Hell, and the intensity really hasn't let up. This song is absolutely fierce. The guitar riff is pure Judas Priest worship. It is absolutely got the same tone, the same stylings as you would expect from Priest in that era. Actually, this has got the riffic tone that you would hear on the Painkiller album, I think. It's really, really got a, you know, like a razor edge type bite to it. I think it's got a killer electrifying solo, just to be honest with you. I think the solo's fantastic. Their technical abilities are absolutely on display during this tune. The whole band, I mean, it's a rockin'. I think this song has got a great medley to it. Once again, can get your head bobbing. I think you can engage you as a listener because it just rocks, I think. I think it's an excellent song. I gave this one an 8. Chris, what do you think about Like Hell?
Yeah, again, man, the guitars are the star. This guy's a hell of a guitarist. I get the Priest reference there. It does feel a lot like something off that Painkiller album. Tell you what, man, the guitar solo, phenomenal. I mean, the lyrics are pretty good, and this one actually grew on me a little bit over the couple of weeks there. I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of like that kind of chanting thing you can do when you listen to it. I give it a great. I think it's very good. Or, I mean, it's great. Awesome. I give it a 7, so, yeah.
Fair enough. Anthony, what do you think about Like Hell?
It's another killer intro, and they do a lot of good intros on their songs on this album. Yeah. Another song that just rips. This song is full of so many great things. Catchy chorus, big drums, blistering guitars. I'll say that a lot, blistering in this episode, because their guitars are just blistering. And so forth and so on. Zero complaints, man. I wrote a very Priest-like, and that only gives it more greatness. So I gave it a 9. I think it's outstanding. So.
Awesome, man. That's fair enough. Let's rock this out. Track 3. It's called Heavy Chains. Chris. Heavy Chains, to me, this song had a familiarity to it, and I could not figure out what song it was during the past couple of weeks that it reminded me of. Something that was rocking in the 80s that was probably by some famous band. I just couldn't figure it out, but there's something infectious about this groove on this tune as well. Although it's a little bit slower paced, it still is a mid-paced rocker, if you will. I think this one right here had an excellent riff to it. Once again, get your head bobbing. I think it's a... lyrically, I think it was more of a love song type situation, but nonetheless, I think this song ended up being great in my ears. I gave this one a 7. I think we're going down, but it's still rocking. I think the album's still rocking at this point. Chris, what'd you think about Heavy Chains?
So you never could figure out what song it reminded you of?
I could not, dude. It's just there. It's just, I could hear it.
I don't know. Anthony, you got any take on what that might be?
Guys kind of play off that 80s metal sound, so it probably has sounds from a lot of different stuff too, like a lot of bands in that day. You can hear songs and, you know, they all have sort of similar vibes to each other, you know.
I agree, man. There was just something there and I could not grab it. I mean, it wasn't Rat, you know. I was thinking rat, but it's not Rat. It's definitely something powerful, and it wasn't Dokken. You know, Chris, you kept saying Dokken. It wasn't Dokken.
Maybe it's Queensrÿche.
A lot of this feels like Dokken to me. But
I know they're before
Dokken, so I'm not saying they're... Regardless, my review here, again, and I say this all the time on this, the riffs are top-notch. I mean, it's just like this guy, and I looked it up. He plays like an ESP on this, right, Jimmy?
This
album, and probably got a very similar rig to what Lynch has. That's probably why he sounds like so much like George Lynch.
Well, this would have been Lynch pre-ESP days.
What do you mean?
Lynch was an ESP artist in 84, so...
Well, I'm saying when he was in Doc and playing that stuff, we all know it's the same kind of guitar, same kind of system he's got.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I know he's before, so I'm not trying to say he copied
well,
him.
Well, barely. Now, Dokken was there.
Time frame. I mean.
You know, they were starting in these years, you know, 83, 84, so...
But yeah, I mean, it's a great song, man. I mean, the lyrically, but musically fantastic. That's how I feel about a lot of this stuff. And I don't think the guy's a bad singer necessarily, but it's just like this, the lyrics never really caught me on this song. There wasn't much of a chorus to pick out, but the riffs are awesome. The guitar solo is awesome. I give it a very good, I think it's 6.
Okay, fair enough. Anthony, what do you think about Heavy Chains?
Yeah, we keep talking about Dokken, but my opening line said, I love the way this song starts with that haunting Dokken vibe before they crank it up to 11 and start that galloping beat. I do like that gallop that's in this song. It's kind of a nice thing to hear. Very Iron Maiden of them, basically. Dig that. Digging the vocals. I dig the guitars. Like I said, solo is blistering again. I mean, that's just a big word for this one.
Yeah.
It's a song that just works for me, man. No complaints. I gave it an 8. I think it's excellent. So
awesome.
Solid right. Tune.
Let's go to track 4. It's called Get Away. This song absolutely is returning to the high pace, high octane rhythms that they have produced here earlier in this album. I think the song has got an infectious energy to it. Get your head bobbing, get you kind of getting grooving in with the tune, at least to my ears. The musicianship shines throughout this song. Obviously, the guitar solo is fantastic. But even with this being said, this song still seems to lack something in my ears, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something that's a mediocrity that I'm allowing to come through or what, but I still think the song turned out to be very good. It's not my flush on this album. It's coming a little bit later. But I still think at very good, it has something to offer, and there's just something there that doesn't match the tonality, the ferocity that we've heard in the previous 3 songs. Chris, what do you think about Get Away?
Yeah. The more I listen to this album these past 2 weeks, the more you can't argue that, technically it's a very good, the music's like good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. The guitar riffs are there. The singer has a good voice. Sometimes it just doesn't grab me. And I bet I try to listen to this song 5 or 6 times and I zoned out halfway through it every time. I just like was not into it, man. Blazing guitar solo, but great riffs. Kind of felt like they were rushing through this one. I guess that was just the pace of the song. I don't know. Like they were trying to get it over with. But
maybe you were trying to.
Yeah, I gave it a 5. I think it was good. And, you know, technically, I can't like fault you guys if you want to give it a high score. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It sounds good, but there's like a disconnect there. And I don't know what it is. But yeah, that's just how I feel about it.
That's fair enough. Anthony, what do you think about Get Away?
Yeah, you know, I enjoy it, man. And like you kind of said, Jimmy, I don't think it's as strong as the 3 that came before it.
Right.
But it's still a really good song from start to finish. Vocals are powerful. Band is tearing it up right along with those vocals. The guitar solo, again, is just wow. And I love that little drum roll that kind of stops, and then they get a little drum roll, and it goes into the guitar solo after that. That was a nice little transition there, too. It's pretty cool. I think it's a 7, man. I gave it a great. I think it's a solid, solid tune. So,
fantastic.
So most of these on this album for me are 7s because they're just really great songs. I don't have a lot to say about them, but they're just really great songs that are just fun to listen to, you know. So, so we're about to hit that stride.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. You know, when we discuss at the end, I've got a pretty wide range of numbers on mine, but there's a couple that, you know, obviously are outstanding on this record. But let's go ahead. We're going to move it up to track 5. It's called We Could Be Together. Hit that one, Chris. So We Could Be Together. I'm going to say this. This is maybe my favorite song on the album. I think it's because of the ferocity of the riff. This riff, and I can tell you right now, this is pure King Diamond worship right here. This is a King Diamond riff, or a Merciful Fate riff for that matter. I mean, it is absolutely killer. I think it stands out. This song is so, so good in my ears. I will say, this is between this and Crazy Nights, this is probably one of my favorite tunes because it's one of the heavier tunes. It's a rocker. I like how the pace changes to get to the chorus, and I love how it goes right back into the blistering riff. I think this song is absolutely outstanding, and I'm at a 9 on this one. Chris, what do you think about We Could Be Together?
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I probably think it's the second best song on this album. I'm a little surprised it wasn't a single. Anthony, you said something about 4 singles. I'm just saying
this probably was
on Wikipedia
in Japan. Yeah,
like there was a video for it online.
Agree. The riffage is fantastic. The chorus is great. It's very singable. It's easy to sing along to. It's the one that got stuck in my head all week. I gave it an 8 as well. Well, you gave it a 9. I gave it an 8. Right. I think it's an outstanding, excellent song. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Not much more to say on that. I second best song on the album for me. Yeah.
Awesome. And it has
maybe favorite. I don't know. It's right there with Crazy Nights.
Dude, it's awesome. Yeah. It's
it feels like a single. I'm surprised it wasn't. They probably did them a disservice by not releasing this one.
Right. And I can hear the flavor of Dokken on this one. Chris, you said that earlier this week. This one absolutely has some Dokken flavor to it too. I mean, you know, but it's got a King Diamond riff for sure. All right, Anthony, what'd you think about We Could Be Together?
You know, honestly, guys, this was my weakest one on the album.
What?
Not really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know why.
That's crazy.
You don't like the singable chorus? Is that what it is?
You know, listening to it now, I probably would bump it up from a 6 to maybe a 7. I might go a little higher, but after hearing you guys talk about it.
You don't have to, dude. I just love it.
Once Jimmy said King Diamond, I was like, man, I really like King Diamond. So, man.
I love it.
You know, once you're like, damn it, I like King Diamond. I don't want to burn a song that sounds like King Diamond because I really enjoy King Diamond.
Oh, my. This song would have fit right on Abigail or Them for
Abigail,
sure.
Abigail, great, great, great album. But I give it a 6. I think it's very good, but I'm willing to bump that a little higher after hearing you guys talk. But for some reason, this one didn't jump off at me as much. I don't know why. When I was listening to it now, I was like, this is a little better than I gave it credit for. So I'm not sure why at the time when I was recording this. This is the lowest one for me here forward. It's all 7s and 8s, basically.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know why. It's weird, man. I was sitting here listening to you guys talk, and I was like, damn, I thought this would be the one that would stand out the worst to these guys. But
dude, I love this riff. Oh, man.
So anyways.
God, I love it.
I'm going to say it's a 6 to keep my rating where it is, so I don't have to worry about readjusting everything. But mentally, I'm going to bump it to maybe a 7 or an 8 after hearing you guys talk. Just make myself feel a little better too. So,
all right, well, let's flip this record over. Go to the second side. It's track 6. It's called Run for Your Life. Hit it, Chris. Mm-hmm. guys. So Run for Your Life. Got that little bass intro, and then the band's virtuosity really does take the spotlight once again. We've got what I think is a prog rock formula going on here, a prog metal formula. The riffing actually reminds me of a little bit of some Dream Theater stuff as far as how the bass and the guitar followed each other. However, this one did let me down a little bit. It's something in the song that didn't really shine within me. Although the technical prowess is there for the guitar and the bass and drums for that matter, it just never really grabbed me. I think this thing, it dabbled in that territory of ballad and kind of moving back and forth with the pace of the song. You know, we had a little tempo change here. I think it's still a very good song, but it's one of my weaker ones on this album. I gave this one a 6. Chris, what do you think about Run for Your Life?
Well, there's only so many ways you can keep saying the same thing over and over again. So I decided to do this review in Spanish. So here we go. Let's give it a try. Ese riff de guitarra es muy bueno, pero la voz no me hace mucho. Es bueno, pero me aburro con ese. So, for our Espanol listeners out there, you'll appreciate that.
I certainly do.
I will say, yeah, there were some tempo changes. I caught that about halfway through. Again, instrumentally, very good. Vocally, eh, that's kind of what that means. Yeah. I also gave it a 6. Very good. Yeah, and it's for the guitar, man. This guy's like a tremendous guitarist. I don't care what he plays. Awesome. It's fantastic. Yeah.
All right, Anthony. Talk to us. Run for Your Life.
You know, I enjoy that horror movie sounding intro at the start of it. It's got like a little keyboardy thing. I dig that a lot. Yeah. Anytime you can kind of throw back that 80s kind of horror sound, I love it, man. I also like the ballady nature of it. So, you know, if it's got a ballad in there, I'm going to be on board with it. I do enjoy his vocals here. Sure. Anytime, Jimmy. Time and place, man. Time and place. Dirty Bathroom Stall's better.
That's the best.
I enjoy his vocals, the way they work in a softer style. I think he does a pretty good job with the softer style. Enjoy the ebbs and flows, the transitions, the guitar solo. I like the way the song builds the big conclusion, too. I gave it a 7. I think it's a great song. So, digging
it.
Wow.
Okay. I figured this is going to be lower for all of us, but hey, that's fantastic.
That's like the last song. I was like, I thought this would be. I don't know why. I need to listen to that one a little more, I guess.
It's a great riff, dude. Great riff. All right, let's go to track 7. It's called Clockwork Toy. Hit it, Chris. So Clockwork Toy, guys, I think the song is a gem on this album. It's not my favorite track, but I think it's just got something that's going for it. It's got a great riff. It obviously a great solo. It's soulful and it fits the song so well that it's very intricate throughout the song as far as the way they mesh speed and kind of the almost like a ballad style feel yet again in the middle of this tune. I don't even know how to explain it, but I do like how the tempo does change throughout the song. I understand where Chris is coming on vocally. I mean, it's an acquired taste for sure. There's no doubt about it. I mean, it's not a Geddy Lee acquired, but it's an acquired taste. I think that the song is somewhere between very good and great. I gave this one a 6.5. What'd you think about it, Chris? Clockwork Toy.
To be clear, I don't dislike his voice. I just it's something that just it's very doesn't vanilla resonate. For me. Yeah, it just it doesn't leave a mark, I guess is the best way to say it. Right. Okay, I did the last one in Spanish. We'll try this one in Japanese, so this might be difficult.
Let's do this one. I can't wait.
All right. Subasara shi gitare fuda ga taki utsuna bukaru. It means excellent guitar riffs but boring vocals. There you go. Seriously rocking song with mediocre vocals. That's all I can say about it. It's very good simply because of the guitarist. Yeah.
It's awesome. Six for you.
Six. Anthony, what do you think about Clockwork Toy?
I'll be honest, I bumped this one listening to it in my ears. I had it at a five, and I was like, you know what, this is better than that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
No, it was pretty good listening to it back. I got caught up in translating to Japanese and just kind of like lost focus for a minute there.
It's okay. Treated.
At least you have time to do that. So.
And you know what I thought? You know what, these guys, Japanese band, we should, if I'm doing it in Spanish, I should try it in Japanese. So there you go.
Probably should do it in Japanese for in Spanish, but anyways.
Probably should have. Spanish a lot easier, so that's the difference.
Very true. You know, man, I do, like I said, I enjoy the way these guys start a song, and this is another one that I enjoy. It puts you right into it right away. And this one just gets going and doesn't stop. I dig that. The song works, no issues, passes the crank test. I hear a lot of Halloween in this song. You know, like
yeah, you know what? There's a lot of Halloween throughout this album, man. I'm glad you brought that
I hear
up.
A lot of that in this one.
Holy crap. That's probably exactly what I've been missing. Jesus Christ. How did I miss that?
Yeah, too. I hear a lot of them in this band. So
holy crap. Power metal. You're exactly right. Jeez. You just, hey man, that might have been what I'm missing in those first couple of tunes. Oh my God.
Yeah, just they kind of remind me of Halloween at times with their sort of style and the way they do things. So I think it's seven. I think it's a great tune. So digging it.
Dude, I'm writing that note down now because you're absolutely right. It is Halloween. It's got that blend.
Yeah, right, there's a song ahead that Halloween has that has this very similar sound to it. I don't know which one it is, but there's one of them.
Oh, no, dude, yeah. The tonality's there, too. The tone of this riffing. I mean, and Halloween was here during this time frame, too, right when they were starting to explode. Yeah. You got Keepers coming out, I guess, the next year or something. So
Keeper
of
the Seven Keys is a killer album, man.
Killer album. All right. Let's go ahead and go to the track number eight. It's called No Way Out. Hit it, Chris. So No Way Out. So as we're heading toward this album's conclusion, I think this song delivers an absolute killer blend of aggression and medley. This song reminds me of riffs that you could hear somebody like Ritchie Blackmore from Deep Purple fame.
Oh, yeah.
Or, check this out, guys, Joe Perry. I could hear this being an Aerosmith riff. Yeah, down on the down. 70s. This is like a pure 70s worship riff in my ears. I think that the guitar solo, of course, fantastic. But that, I mean, it's such a, like, I don't know, it's Joe Perry worship in my ears. I think it's fantastic. I think the song is great. I gave this one a 7. What'd you think about it, Chris?
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, your flush? Flush of
the week. Don't hear that.
I don't hear this one being a flush, but it's okay. It's in his ears, man.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's the guitar work is great, but the guitar works great on every song. Vocally, though, this has to be probably the worst song on this album. There's not much of a chorus. I just kind of felt like, I don't know, man. It didn't catch me at all. And you know, listen, the guitar work, you're not going to find a flaw with the guitar work on this album. Yeah. So I can't like say, okay, the guitar work was great. I agree. But vocally, worst song on the album. So that's why I gave it the flush. It's a meh for me. I'd probably skip it.
What's a meh again? Is that a 4?
4.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't look at the scale, do you, Anthony? You just put wherever you feel.
That's good. Actually, that's good.
No,
that's good.
Because whoever's, let's say someone's listening to us for the first time, you say it's a meh.
I should,
They're like, what's a meh? You know, what does that mean?
Exactly. A meh is a four, yes. Okay.
You guys have talked about numbers. Because I know when I'm listening to a podcast, if they forget a number, so I'm like, damn it. It's driving me nuts, man. I can't stand it.
Yes, four. Right.
Right, I'm very, very much like perfectionist like that, I guess.
But, talk to us, Anthony. No way out.
Sorry. I'm just rambling, aren't I? Yes. I have no way out of this conversation, do I? It's a nice groove. Gets the head bobbing. I don't have a lot to say about it, this one. If you enjoy the album so far, which I have, then you won't have problems with this either. It's got the loudness tropes all over it. Big vocals, blistering guitars, heavy drums. I mean, what's not to like about it? It's a 7. It's a great tune. So,
all right. Same page here. All right, let's go ahead and go to track number 9. The Lines Are Down. Hit it, Chris. Lines Are Down. So I think this song is absolutely a great display of incredible songwriting abilities here for these guys. Guitar riff wise, I mean, it's just awesome. The tune itself reminds me of what the sound of the 80s hair is going to slowly get like. But now that Anthony has mentioned Halloween to me, I can hear Halloween in this song as well.
I can hear it in this one too.
Holy smokes. And you know what? I should have talked to you earlier this week. You should have said something to me because I could have gone back and listened to Halloween. It's probably a Halloween song I was thinking of earlier. I think the riff is just killer. The guitar solo is nothing short of breathtaking, which Akira's stuff is incredible throughout this whole album for the most part. I'm not going to say anything else other than this song is absolutely an excellent song. It's probably the best song on the second side in my ears. I gave this one an 8. Chris, what'd you think about The Lines Are Down?
You know, I kind of, again, I hate to keep comparing them to Dogging, but it sounded a whole lot like Kiss of Death, like that song. The way
it does have a camera. It has a similar.
The same kind of like during the lyrics parts of it there. That's what the riff sounds like. Another rocking song with boring vocals to me, honestly. Like vocally, I just kind of zone out on this one. Hate that, guys. I'm sorry. I gave it another meh, which is a 4.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's fair enough, man.
And honestly, it could have been this one could have been the flush just as easily as the previous one. But
man, you're hardcore. All right.
I think I just got fatigue and I was kind of over it by this point in the album. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking. Yeah, yeah, I get it, man. You're talking about 35 minutes into the album. You're worn out.
It's, you know. Don't try that new Iron Maiden album anytime soon.
So. Exactly.
Don't even try that one. Yeah. All right, Anthony, the lines are down.
You know, it works. I like it. Enjoy it. What's not to like about it if you like a heavy metal song, man? Not much more to say about than that. I gave it a 7. I think it's a great tune. So, awesome. Like I said, I was kind of like Chris in the opposite way where I was actually just out of words to say. I just really like these songs. I just don't know really what to say about them.
It's
guitars
the
work, vocals work, drums work. Chorus works, but you know, it's a great song. So
awesome. For me, it's the same on every song. Guitar works and the vocals are kind of meh. I mean, they're not bad.
See,
I mean, I like
the vocals. I enjoy
but
the
here's
vocals.
The thing. I can hear them and technically it's fine. It just doesn't grab me at all. You know,
I like unique vocals. I like vocals that don't sound cookie cutter. You know, that the Bob Dylans, the Geddy Lees, the people. I like vocals like
see,
that.
I don't think this guy stands out. I think he's very, like, kind of sounds like a mix between Don Dokken and the guy from Scorpion.
I can hear a little difference, so. But.
It's what it is.
All right, let's go to track number 10 and close this thing out. It's called Never Change Your Mind.
Who's that for, me or Jimmy?
That's for Chris. Jimmy. That's for me. Fine, whatever.
Yeah. giants. Please never change your mind.
All right, guys, so as everybody in this world who listens to this podcast knows, I don't like an album that closes with a slower song for the most part, and it didn't work on this album. I think they should have closed with Lines Are Down, and they should have put this song before it. But that being said, I think this this final song, and I don't know if you guys could catch this at all when you were listening to this record at all, this is the one song that I think reminds me of Tesla. And it's the Getting Better intro, the little the soft part of Getting Better before it kicks into the riff. I hear that, and I even hear similarities vocally to Tesla in parts of this song, which is weird. But nonetheless, I mean, that being said, I just how I heard this tune, because this is the one song that I regularly would have skipped when I was younger, because I had this on cassette back in the day. So I don't remember this one a whole lot. So the past few weeks I've been listening to this, you know, I was like, well, you know what, this is better than I thought, because I'd always tend to skip it. However, I think this is my flush on the album, to be honest with you. I just never really got into it. I think the song is somewhere between good and very good, and I gave it a 5.5. I'm not going to take anything away from the song. Don't get me wrong, guys. It was my weakest song. That's all. Chris, what'd you think about Never Change Your Mind? You're probably going to be like, it's an 8.
Well, I'll tell you, you said Tesla, and I totally hear that. It also kind of reminds me a little bit of Twisted Sister in a way.
I was just thinking. Were you going to say that? The Price by Twisted Sister.
Yeah, almost get that a little bit too. Honestly, Jimmy, I disagree, man. I think this is a really good way to close this album. I thought this one stands out to me. This feels like genuine, and like that's vocally enough, I thought it was really good. I love that guitar beginning, that intro. Yeah. It kind of burns into like a mid-paced rocker on the way out. One of the better songs on this album, in my opinion. I gave it 7. I think it's a great way to close the album.
Fair enough. Anthony, what do you think about Never Change Your Mind?
I mean, I think it's closing strong with another ballady sort of tune. And like he dials it down, he sounds really good, man. It's a solid tune. It appeals to the ballad boy side of me, so I gave it an 8. I think it's excellent. So it's one of my higher rated ones on this album, personally. So I really like it. I like the transitions into the chorus and everything too. So good stuff, man.
I also think whenever it's okay to close an album with a song like this, as long as it kind of like builds into a bit of a rocker on the way out, which this one does. So I have no problem with it.
What do you think of Jimmy Buffett closing a lot of his albums with ballads?
That's a different story.
It's not rock.
That's not rock and roll, dude. That's absolutely a different genre.
Just saying, man. He closes a lot of his albums with some slow songs. So.
Don't you bring his name up in this conversation. Do not bring his name up.
I got a right to, because I run a podcast based on Jimmy Buffett. So
I'm playing, dude. That's a different type of style, man.
Somehow Anthony managed to work Jimmy Buffett and Rush into this podcast. Did you notice that, man?
That's awesome. That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
Mission accomplished.
Man, I got King Diamond on this one. Who are y'all fooling? All
right. I guess you did.
Nonetheless, you know, no, you're right, Anthony. Buffett does close out. But to me, in my ears, I always, when I think of rock, when I think of hair metal, I always think about albums coming in on fire and going out on fire, leaving the listener yearning for more rock. And those slower songs always being somewhere in the middle to kind of slow the pace, calm the listener, and then just get them high on ecstasy again before they close out the record. You know what I mean? That's just the way I picture, you know, hard rock and the hair metal, and even, you know, metal for that matter in general. I mean, I think about the great albums that I've heard throughout the years that were, you know, hard rock, and the majority of those albums seem to have blistering songs at the end of the album. And I mean, obviously, I'll give you two right off the bat that came out just a little bit later than this. Master of Puppets. Damage Incorporated is one of the fastest songs I ever wrote. And then you got Raining Blood from Slayer. Raining Blood, the song.
I mean, was that the last song, Raining Blood?
Oh, my God, Blood. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
You just can't go in Blazing Fast, Battery, and Angel of Death, and then Close that fast. Yeah. I mean, that's just perfection in my ears when it comes to music and albums, how they right. flow. Because Slayer didn't have a slowdown in it, but Metallica did. They had Welcome Home.
That album was a little too fast at times.
Yeah, well, 27 minutes or whatever the hell it is. It's slow. It's fast as can be. It is nonstop barrage. But regardless, that's just how I am, guys. I love rock music that starts fast and ends fast. That's all. All right, I'm going to give you all some final thoughts on this record. I think that Thunderneath is absolutely a great journey. It must have been a hell of an achievement for Loudness, because this was their biggest record in the States, I guess, at the time. It kind of broke them in the United States. They did a couple of tours across America. This was recorded in America, believe it or not. You would think this was recorded in Japan, but it was recorded here in the States, out in California. So this leads me to believe this is where that tone came from, for that hair sound that was a precursor to what we're getting ready to hear. So that all made sense to me. I believe that the album, if you're a fan of hair, if you're a fan of heavy metal, just a fan of heavy metal in general, I think this album's worth your time. Vocally, may take some time to get used to. Like Chris was saying, it's not for everybody. This is definitely going to be one of those albums that vocally, it could be, you know, buy or sell, so to speak. You might be in all in on this guy's vocals, or you might be like, you know what, I just can't grab it. And I totally get that as well. I think that this sound is fantastic. I think the riff's incredible. I think Akira is a very, very underrated guitarist outside of the Japan music, because I know that my friend Chuck, once again, he gave me a guitar years ago. It's a killer guitar. That's the company that Akira owns. I mean, the guitar is... He owns his own guitar company. It's probably a division of ESP nowadays, but it's just, this guy's that's how good he is. And tons of Japanese artists are endorsed by him. And that makes sense. I think this album is certainly worth your time listening to. I love it. I think it's a fun journey. It takes me back to a time of being a young, you know, innocent kid, so to speak, listening to heavy metal on Saturday nights, watching them through MTV. I mean, that's just what it was. Headbangers Ball. And this is, I owe Headbangers Ball everything when it comes to some of the music I've learned, I've experienced, and I've become a fan of throughout the years. My overall came out to be a 7.3, and I think that's the right score for this album. I think it's a great album. Chris, what was your final thoughts?
Well, I think I kind of made my feelings known throughout this review.
Are you going to do this in Japanese or what?
No, I don't have this translated, so I'm just going to do this in English. Honestly, guys, like, technically, it's good music, and the guitarist is phenomenal. I mean, he could have easily stepped into any of these metal bands in the United States back in that time frame and just absolutely ripped it up. But of course, he had his own thing, and I get that too. I get a lot of shades of Dokken and Scorpions and Priest, like you said. The thing I guess that I wasn't looking at, you guys are more attuned to the Priests and the Helloweens and all this stuff, and maybe this is more that kind of music than it is hair metal, and maybe I was thinking of it from more the Scorpions Dokken standpoint instead of the, and maybe that to me why I was like, it just doesn't quite hit that, but I think maybe it is a little heavier, and maybe that's why I had a little trouble with it, because
it
I wasn't like
borders with power metal. That's
yeah, I wasn't viewing it from that spectrum, and in hindsight, maybe that's why if I kind of went into it with like a different mindset, I might have like understood it a little more, I guess. Full disclosure on that. But to me, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, great guitars, mediocre vocals. And again, not mediocre, like, I don't think it's good. Mediocre, like, it didn't hit me. And, like, the there weren't a lot of, like, catchy hooks in the choruses and stuff to, like, draw me in. But that said, when I rounded my score up, it was a 5.9. Which is right close to very good. And I think that's fair for what I'm, the way I review this stuff.
So. Better than I thought it was going to be, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right. I mean, there were some good songs on this album, yeah.
I agree. Anthony, what are your final thoughts, man?
Like I said in my review, it's a great pick. Glad we had a chance to dive into it. You know, Loudness was a band that I was familiar with years ago, and I'm about sure I knew a few of these songs from Headbangers Ball. So it was nice to dive into their music and, kind of remind me of how solid band they were. And I wrote that it's amazing they broke through the language barrier and delivered an album this strong, which is a lot to say about them too, you know, because they had to really sing in English and lose the Japanese. That was pretty crazy. it says a lot for their talent and skill to do that. I can easily recommend it for anyone who listens to us or this podcast who just wants to throw on some great tunes and chill out to some great music, man. I can't fault it for that. It's a thumbs up for me. 7.6, somewhere between great and excellent. Oh, wow. And more than fine with that. So,
yeah. Wow, great score, man. Great score.
Yeah. You and I, it kind of makes sense you and I are in the same,
true,
similar, because we kind of listen to this music.
We were
together.
Familiar with, well, I was super familiar. You were a little familiar. And I know Chris, this is a discovery for him. And it's something that, you know, this is one of those bands, like, it's the vocals. I know it is. It's, and I don't want to compare them. Rush is, I mean, don't get me wrong, Rush is a superior band to this by all means of the word. But I still love these guys. I still listen to them to this day. I mean, they'll pop up my playlist just for, because they still record music, believe it or not, y'all. I mean, 40 years later. So
I know, I was looking up their albums. They've got like 20 or 30 albums or something.
And this Akira guy is just absolutely just blowing it out of the water. I mean, he's a shredder. I mean, you know, he is a great guitarist, and he has made his stamp known in the rock and metal world, primarily in Japan and in the Far East. But still yet, I mean, if you're a guitarist, you know who this guy is for the most part. I mean, he's in the magazines back in the day, and he certainly is. You know, he certainly is a YouTube phenomenon, because he'll shred it up on YouTube too. So nonetheless, we got a pick to go. Chris. And in this corner, weighing in at 165 pounds, it's the blues rock guru, the master of podcast production, and the man who cannot stop the battery. It's Chris's pick.
So guys, I've got to move us in a different direction. This is not a surprise to these guys, because I kind of let them know a couple of weeks ago where I was going. So, because I knew Anthony was on vacation, and give him a chance to kind of get this in his system as well. So this is a newer band, but it's definitely in that blues rock vein. Some people claim they're Zeppelin clones. I could kind of maybe see that. From 2017, the band Greta Van Fleet, and the album is From the Fires. So, yes, I know, Anthony, you've had a chance to listen to this a little bit already. I think we're going to get some high marks from Anthony. So,
you know, man, I'll probably get into this next week, but a few years ago we did ZZ Top, went on a deep dive like crazy. Rush, deep dive like crazy. Greta Van Fleet,
it's going to be the new deep dive like crazy. Okay.
I was listening to them last night. They have a song, Lover Lever, killer tune. And I didn't listen to all of it, but they got a 26-minute version of this one song. They're just on stage singing and jamming, and it's just like, I didn't listen to all of it, but I was like, my God, the guitar player on this album, this band is crazy good.
Great stuff, man.
I kind of hate I learned about Greta because it kind of took away from loudness a little bit. Luckily, I got loudness done before Greta, because I was like,
it is a risk when we do this, guys, when we take these little breaks and we go ahead and kind of let each other know kind of what's going to be the next.
Right.
And it will, and it can, because this album is a very powerful album, and it is tell you right now, this album is a better album than what we just listened to, because it is a different style, and it's a great release. This will be a fun when we record this next episode. So that'll be good stuff.
Yep. So just look up on YouTube, man. Their stuff. The lead singer is just, you know, it's so rare to get a vocalist like this. You know, I didn't think we'd ever get a vocalist like this. You know, I don't know. It's strange to hear something like this. You know,
I mean, I don't want to skip to the final thoughts on this album, but that's the reason I picked it, Anthony, is for you, because I know Jimmy knows it, and I've always been on the cusp of it. I had a feeling you'd probably never listen to him, so I was like, let's give Anthony a chance to find something new that he's really going to like. So
the funny thing to me is that he does have a Robert Plant vibe. He has a Geddy Lee vibe to him at times. And those are very vocalists you don't think will ever be repeated again, because they're so unique.
That's a fact.
And then all of a sudden this guy comes around, and you're like, what? We're not supposed to have another repeat of a Robert Plant or a Geddy Lee. They're only supposed to be one of them in this world, so... It's
very 70s-ish.
It's got a riff. He's got some great vocals, man. For sure. All right, guys. Well, let's wrap this bad boy up for the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. This is Jimmy.
This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.